just mentioned the din. The Gemara has a din. A little before, about 15 lines from the top, the line begins with the word Mizamnim es anochir b'shabbos ve Mizamnim es anochir b'yontiv Zerish em yarba b'shvilu. The din is on yontiv you're not permitted to do malacha, you're only allowed to do malacha for the purpose of eichal nefesh. So that pasuk says achas sheyachol l'chol nefesh hu levado yeyoseh lachem. So the word lachem sounds like a miyut. It doesn't say achas sheyachol l'chol nefesh hu levado yeyoseh. It says it's lachem. So lachem is memait something. So the Gemara had a whole machlekes satanoim. I permitted to cook for a nochri, and a machlekes satanoim. I permitted to cook for a behema. Maybe a nochri is dacha human beings, and maybe you're permitted to cook for human beings, but you're not allowed to do a malach. Like say to carry food to the zoo on yontif, not chalamoy. Chalamoy megnet on yontif. If you live near the zoo, I used to live near the zoo in the Bronx. Are you allowed to walk to the zoo on yontif and carry food to feed the behemas? So that's a machlekes satanoim for the behemoth. So we're machmer on all three. We say lachem eloi lagavoya, lachem eloi laakum, lachem eloi leklovin. You're not permitted to do malach on yontif for behemoth. You're not permitted to do malach on yontif for a nochri. Let's say the next door neighbor in a different building wants me to carry some food to give him that he should eat on yontif. So if it's a nochri, you're not allowed to. If there's an erev, it's a different story. There's an erev, so you're not, it's not a malach of carrying. You can carry on Shabbos also. But if there's no erev and you're not on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry. So on Yontif, you're also not allowed to carry. You're only allowed to carry on Yontif if it has the heter of Eichel Nefesh.
What's about letting go out on the grass
to let the behema go out? Yeah, that's mutter even on Shabbos. Even though it's Ketzira, even though you're not allowed to cut off the grass, but to allow...
They do by themselves.
Yeah, so the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that you're allowed to do. You're allowed to let the behemoths graze in the field. Yeah, that's permissible. So the Gemara has a din on Amud Beis. This is in Shulchan Aruch that on Shabbos you're permitted to invite a nochri to eat by you. Let's say you have a goy who wants to convert. They're interested in seeing what a Shabbos is like. They want to know what a Yontif is like. So on Shabbos you're permitted to invite a goy over to eat by you. Let's say there's a government official, an ambassador, whatever, a goyish ambassador, and Eretz Yisrael wants to eat by the chief rabbi. They always have every year. They always have goyim who want to eat by the chief rabbi.
Have a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the din. So the Gemara says on Shabbos you're permitted to invite a nochri to eat by you because there's no hashash that you're going to cook for the nochri. You don't cook even for yourself. On Shabbos we're not going to make a mistake. We don't do a malach even for ourselves. There's no heterech on nefesh at all. So if it's not going to share the Shabbos atmosphere, so you can invite a nochri. But on Yontif, you're not permitted to invite a nochri, not only on Pesach. Some people think it's special on Pesach because it's a special din.
Anyway.
In Korban Pesach, the kol ben echel lo yechol boy. On Leil HaSeder, we treat it as if it's like eating a Korban Pesach. We have Zechel HaMikdosh. And in Korban Pesach, it's a special din, kol ben echel lo yechol boy. So the Gemara says, not only on Leil Pesach because of the Seder. Every Yontif, you're not permitted to invite a nochri to eat by you. To visit is one thing, but to eat by you, tarmanish, because we know they were allowed to cook for ourselves. Let's say one of the guests, yes, they'd like to have a cup of tea, like to have another bowl of soup, so I'll go into the kitchen and I'll cook up some more water and heat up the soup. But if there's a nochri, I may forget and think he's also one of the guests, so I'll go and I'll heat up some more soup and cook for him. So that you're not allowed to do. So therefore they made gzeir derabanan that you're not permitted to invite a nochri at all. So Veta HaShayla in Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avram has a machlekes. Huh?
Simulation
is not a problem. That's the problem on Shabbat on the weekdays.
Yeah.
Does it make sense to invite a nochri? Okay, so that's dumb. You shouldn't invite any nochri on the weekdays either if there's a problem of assimilation. Well, let's say it's a guy who wants to convert, or it's an ambassador.
It's a good reason.
A good reason. If you have a very good reason. So on Shabbos, Megmin and Yontov Tarmanish. So the Magen Avraham has a discussion regarding this din lachem v'loy la'akum. What if it's a yiddish goy? What if it's a yid? Doesn't keep anything. Doesn't go to shul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Doesn't keep absolutely anything. So we have dinim in Shulchan Aruch that sometimes we say that a mumer is dina ka'akum. A mumer, let's say a yid who doesn't keep any mitzvahs, will shech the behemah. So the Gemara says, Shchitas and Nevela, you're not allowed to eat from the flesh. Machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, is that a din d'araisa? Is that a din d'rabbanan? This din, the Namumer dina kakum, let's say such a mumer will write a get. The get has to be written l'shma, And the Gemara has halacha goy al pidin cannot write lishmo, not because he has a shvacha kop. It's halacha that a goy cannot create lishmo because he's not a yid. What if you have a yidish goy? What if you have a yid doesn't keep anything? Doesn't keep Shabbos kashrus, absolutely nothing. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur doesn't go to shul at all. So one that doesn't keep anything is dina kachos. Okay, one will have this. Okay. Yeah.
So his wife can never get a get?
No. His wife can get a get, but he can't write the get. He has to authorize someone else.
Really
he can order to write a get. He can give the get. That's not a problem. yeah. He can do chalitza too, but he cannot write the get. Just like a goy cannot do the ksivas aget, so a mumer cannot do ksivas aget. That's a machlekes. But this halacha, mumer dina kaakum, is a machlekes in Rishayim and a machlekes in Yeridei in Hilchas Shechit. Is that a din daraisa? Or is that only a penalty to the Rabbanim? The Chachamim are gunning out to get him, so they made a chumrah, we should stay away from him, so we treat him din kach. The machlokes, whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbanim, but the such a din. So the Magen Avraham has a machlokes here regarding cooking on Yontif. You're only permitted to cook on Yontif for a yid, for a nachri, tominish, lachem, loyli akum. So what if you're going to cook on Yontif for a yid? But it's a yid, is totally, totally not observing. Married to a shiksa. A yid is married to a shiksa. So if he comes over on Yontif, am I allowed to cook him a cup of coffee? Or do you say, no, akum, amum adina kafim. So the Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes about that. Now, if you're going to assume that you're not permitted to cook for this mumer on Yontif because he's dina kakum, then you're not even allowed to invite him on Yontif because Shema Yarbe B'Shvilei. The same Zera Shema Yarbe B'Shvilei. So that's the way the Mishnah Brura takes it. Mishnah Brura writes on this din. You know the Mishnah Brura has the Sefer Mishnah Brura. He writes the dinim, and then in the footnotes he gives you the Mar Mekaymus, where he got it. In the Shara Tzion, he gives you the Mar Mekaymus. So on this din, he writes, if you have a yid who's a mumer, you're not allowed to cook for him on Yontif because he's dina kinochri, and therefore you're not allowed to invite him on Yontif. So he gives in the Mar Mekaymus, instead of telling you that it's a machloikis in the Magen Avraham, this Tshuva Sefer and that Tshuva Sefer, he writes in the footnotes, Poshet. He doesn't need any Mar Mekaymus. A din pashut. How can it be a din pashut? It's a shver a Magen Avraham. It's a shver Mishnah Brura. The Magen Avraham has a machlekes on this. Machlekes, some hold that it's not true. And the Mishnah Brura writes he doesn't even need any Mar Mekaymus. It's a din pashut. Very shver. We don't say mumer dina ka'akum with respect to everything. Let's say you need a Shabbos goy to turn off the light or something like that. So you call in a yid who's a mumer. It doesn't apply over there, mumer dina ka'akum. Let's say I'm a barber. And the customers come in and they want me to cut off their payas. If it's a goyish customer, it's up to him. I can cut off his payas. Even though I'm a yid, but the customers are goy. I can cut off the payas from a behemoth. So if a goy comes in, I can cut off his payas. There's no violation. No, the din doesn't apply. If the customer whose payas is being cut off is a nachri, there's no din. Even though usually there is a violation on the part of the barber, not just lifnei iver. The barber is over and when he shaves off the payas. But if it's a nachri, there's no problem whatsoever. The heter goma. But let's say it's a yid, it's mumer dina ka'akum. So you don't say dina ka'akum is like a guy you're allowed to shave off his pain. You don't say it like that. So you don't say in kol ha'tar kula, it's not so posh. Or there's a whole discussion in Rishonim, let's say.
About Mechalel Shabbos for mumer, let's say to save his life.
To save his life.
Same is even more complex.
Mechalel Shabbos b'farhesia dina ka'akum. That's usually the din is a yid is dina ka'akum.
No. Can a doctor be mechalel Shabbos to save a?
To save a nachri. To save a mumer.
To save a mumer.
The din is that no. That you're not allowed to. If he's dina ka'akum, because the assumption is you're not allowed to be mechalel Shabbos to save a life of a nachri. But as he says today, we do that. Yeah, today we.
Also, Ava.
Same Ava.
You can do for Goya, you can do for Ava. Sukkonas and Fashas.
Not worse than this. Hotels able to cook for Goya.
Right, that's the problem. How do they have in all the hotels? What they check, everybody who comes in, they check if they have a bris milah. Right? Yeah. Let's say the guests, they know that every guest is a yid. There must be some guests who are nachrin, there must be some guests who are intermarried. How do they know that all the guests are yid? How can it be? So the poskim say, Dain Grossman says a tshuva about this from London. There's a tshuva, he writes that in all the hotels, let's say someone wants a bowl of soup or a cup of coffee, and the waiter goes into the kitchen, even if the waiter is a yeshiva boy, but the ones who do the cooking in the kitchen are all nachrin. There are no yidden to do the cooking. There's a problem of bishul akum. How are you allowed to eat the food? So you always have the mashgiach turn on the fire. But that's all. But the mashgiach doesn't do any cooking. All the cooking is done by Nachum. If there's going to be any extra cooking being done in the kitchen, it's going to be done by a guy on behalf of a guy. So that's what the poskim assume. Let's say in my home, if I want to invite a nochri for yontif, I have some big problem, a pressure, I have to invite a nochri for yontif. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to. So the eitzah is to pay hired help, to pay a goyish person to stay in the kitchen to do all the work. So if anybody will need anything, all the malachas will be done by goy. None of the malachas will be done by you. Okay. All right. So this is the big problem. Let's say on Yom Tov, a lot of times people have relatives very far, not observant at all. But Chach, if you invite them over for Yom Tov, so they'll see a matzah, something. To see that there are still Jews in the world. So that's a shali. You're not allowed to invite the Jew who's so far away. It's a shver chumra. Even if the yid, you see, machalos Shabbos before hesi dina ka'akum. The Gemara has different kinds of yidin who are mumrim. Who is a yiddish person who is dina ka'akum? So if you have a person who's over avodah zarah, a yid worships avodah zarah. Goes to church every Sunday. Once in a while goes to church. Not so often. Once in a while goes to church. So yid is over avodah zarah. The Gemara says dina ka'akum. And that one avera alone, we treat him dina ka'akum because he's over avodah zarah. Even if he keeps all the mitzvahs. What if he's mechal Shabbos befehesye? He's also dina ka'akum. So the recent poskim write that we don't really have that. Mechal Shabbos befehesye dina ka'akum means if you live in a community where most of the people are shomer Shabbos. Almost everybody's a Shomer Shabbos, and this guy was brought up in a religious community.
He's not embarrassed at all.
He goes Mechal Shabbos in front of everybody. The mason, he knows what it is. Mechal Shabbos breaking the discipline. Shegetz, and then it's Dinka. So the poskim say that in recent years, you can't say that he's Fahesia. You can't say Mechal Shabbos but Fahesia. I mean, he's not embarrassed. The Gemara said Fahesia means not even embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos in front of the chief rabbi. He doesn't even know what Shabbos is. His parents didn't know what Shabbos is. So what do you want from him? So the poskim say that's not called Mechal Shabbos b'Fehesi. That's how the Binyan Sion writes. He lived in Germany. That's how the Chazon Ish writes. He lived in Lithuania. The Minkatcher attacks the Binyan Sion. He says, what do you mean? Because he lived in Minkatch. Minkatch, they're all from a Yidden. So of course he says, what do you mean? It's not Hashegetz, it's Dina Kakum. In Minkatch, they would all agree it would be Dina Kakum. But if you live in Germany, where they're all assimilated, the majority of the Jews are not observant at all. So how can you call the guys Mechal Shabbos that's called Bifar Hesye and Dina Kakum? So that we don't have. A Jew's Avod Avodah Zarah, it does exist, and it's Dina Kakum, but those people usually don't eat by me on Yom Tov. So we're not talking about them. But the third category you have, the poskim say, let's say a Jew who's a mumer l'roiv dina hatera b'mezid. Shatnes he never heard of. Okay, so we'll leave that out. And other feeding,
kosher food.
A lot of things they never heard of, but a lot of things they did hear of. A lot of things, kosher. A lot of the Jews know about kosher, and they know about Taras HaMishpacha, they know about Yom Tov, they know about Shabbos, other things, and they chose not to observe it. So whoever violates Rav Dine HaTorah, which he's aware of, and he doesn't care. Sometimes they're aware, they know, the Hasidim do that. They think that's a minig. They know there are religious Jews who do and religious Jews who don't do. So they know that that's menhagim. So if they think that the whole religion is all menhagim, see, also you can't say you can't call it b'mezid. But sometimes you have. They know that there are laws. They know that we believe in God and Torah and Hashemayim, and our religion says that none of us are allowed to eat treif, and none of us are allowed to do Shabbos, chil Shabbos, and then they do it anyway. So then we have another din that one is a mumah that roves dinah haTorah b'mezid. The majority of the dinim that he's aware of, he violates. So he takes dinah kakum. There is such a person as Dina Kakum. So that's the shali. You're not allowed to invite such a person over to your home. Gzeresh HaMeyarba B'Shvilo. And the Yarba B'Shvilo itself is questionable. You're not allowed to cook for him. If you're not allowed to. So the Mishnah Berurah just wrote, it's a double posha that you're not allowed to. So that's already shver. There are those who disagree with this. The chumra on top of the chumra, that you're not allowed to invite the Jew who's Dina Kakum because of the Gzeresh HaMeyarba B'Shvilo. Even if Muma Adina Ka'akum, many poskim hold that itself is only with the Rabbanim. So it's like a gzeri l'gzeri. If you have a real Nochri coming to your home and you cook for the Nochri, that's a Hashash deraisa. But if you have a Jew, Dina Ka'akum, that itself is only with the Rabbanim. Then it's Dina Ka'akum. And it's not so poshut that you're not allowed to cook for him. So it's a shvera chumre. So that's why many are makel on this, inviting a Nochri. This year, the first day of Rosh Hashanah,
inviting a Jew who's totally non-observant.
That's the shaila. What about when Yontif falls out on Shabbos? So do you treat it like Shabbos or do you treat it like Yontif? So the pashtus, Shabbos, he's not cooking for anybody. Shabbos, we're not going to cook for anybody. The din doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. So I thought the pashtus is Shabbos and not cooking for anybody. So what shaykh to make exist? So I don't know why Rav Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva. And he says, you're not allowed to.
No.
He says, they made Gzeir on Yontif, Aloit Plug. I don't know, Mehecha Taisa. Why should he say like that? Why should he assume that it's Aloit Plug if the town doesn't apply? No. You should treat it, it's the Shabbos, so treat it like Shabbos. Shabbos, you're allowed to invite a Nochri.
Next day,
the whole thing itself is Gzeir. Gzeir, you shouldn't invite him the first day of Rosh Hashanah because he may invite him the second day. The second day itself is only Gzeir that you may cook for him. Okay, I understand why he said it. Okay, I understand why. But the shaila is, does everybody agree with Rav Shlomo Kluger? Go ahead. He's a major poisik. I don't know. I never saw, if anybody else talks about it, just accidentally I came across Rav Shlomo Kluger has in a tshuva. He thinks that you're not allowed. That's talking, that Mishnah, that Gemara is relevant about inviting the Nochrim. And the poskim say that this, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the favorite, this din that you're not permitted to invite a Nochri on Yontif even applies if there's an issue of Shlom Malchus, like in Eretz Yisrael. By the chief rabbi, there are always ambassadors from certain countries, Nochri Mamish, Goy Mamish, who want to be invited to a Seder, they want to be invited on Yontif to the chief rabbi's home for some reason or another. So that's, so those state the fairish, even a problem of Shlom Malchus, we're not matter that. So the eighth is to have Goyim run the kitchen, have the Goy take care of the kitchen, so then that solves all the problems. And that's what they do in all the hotels.
But if the Nochri, let's say, for practical reasons, somebody is sick and he has a nurse with him, the person comes to the Seder. He can't come without the nurse.
Yeah.
So that says
in Shulchan Aruch that this aim is amnemus anoch, he's not allowed to invite an outside guest. But let's say it's a worker in there. That's what someone is. What about the workers in the hotel? So a yid is not allowed to cook for the goyish workers in the hotel. But if everything is cooked from before Yontif, and you're just concerned about the Shema Yivashal Bishvil Anoch, so it says you're not going to cook for the workers. You're not concerned. We'll remember not to cook, even if we want to be nice about it, we will remember not to cook for the workers. Right? Okay. The Sfardim don't hold from that head. Right. That's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch.
If
the Gemara has the two gzeiris from the Rabbanon, there's one gzeira pasakum and there's one gzeira bishalakum. They prohibited, we're not allowed to eat bread that was baked by a Nochri because it may lead to intermarriage. We're not permitted to eat food even though it's absolutely 100% kosher. We were watching the way the guy, the neighbor made it. So we're not allowed to eat bishalakum, food cooked by a Nochri, not allowed to eat pasakum. The Gemara has a kulam pasakum. If the Jew lit the fire in the oven, even though the goy did the kneading of the dough, mixed the water with the flour and made the dough and everything, the whole baking process was done by the Nochri. But the shigira satan, or the heating up of the oven, was done by yeast. So the Gemara says that takes off the prohibition of pasakum, by bread. But the Gemara never says beferish, does that take off the problem of bishalakum also? Maybe pasakum is lighter, maybe it makes more sense to introduce kulas and pasakum because of the fact that years ago, today is just not so, years ago, most of the meal used to be bread. Like in Eretz Yisrael, like Europeans, they'll eat five slices of bread in the meal, then a little bit of vegetables, a little bit of things, but they may eat a lot of bread. In America, we don't eat so much bread. People the whole week don't eat bread bechlal, and then on Shabbos they eat less than a kazayis. You don't even have a kazayis. You're supposed to have a kazayis, a kibetza, whatever. Yosim kibetza. People are not so careful about it. Okay, okay. But years ago, They use the lashon al alechem yichyeh adam. The pasuk says ki loy al alechem levado yichyeh adam. So the rishonim use the lashon al alechem yichyeh adam. That's the main staple of the meal would be bread. So that's why the tanoim were a little more makel in pasakum than they were in the bishalakum, because the pas is more important. So that's a machlokes in the rishonim. In the Torah Abayi, the machlokes between the Rashba and the Ra'or, what if the Yisrael, what if the Yid lit the fire? And then the guy did all of the cooking on the fire. Does the hadlokas on there, does the hadlokas ha'esh by the Yisrael, does that label everything as Bishul Yisrael? Or do you say no? You have to have that the Jew should push in the food. And if the guy pushes in the food, that's Bishul Akh. So in Shulchan Aruch, that's a machlok between the Mechaber and the Ramal. Mechaber writes the psak for the Svardim, and Yosef Kar writes the psak that the Svardim follow, that heter of Shgiras Atanur is only by Pas. That heter was never made by Bishul. And the Ramo writes that by Ashkenazim we're makel even by Bishul. So all the hotels, all the restaurants, and all the yeshivas, all the big institutions, that's what they all have. They have goyim do the cooking in the kitchen all the time, and the Jew just lights the fire. So that's the problem. But how do the Sephardim eat in all these places? So it's a problem.
In Europe, in Middle Ages, the bakery was belonging to the union, yeah. And Jews could not merge the union. That's the reason a Jew could not be a public, this is a fact, could not be a public baker. So there was no available, there was no bread available. A Jew couldn't be a kosher bakery.
Right.
Cooking you could do, but baking is a profession
right.
That belonged to the union. The Sephardim did not have this problem with the union because in the house of Sephardim, they were not the union, they were not the guild. Each one belongs to the guild. That is the reason they had no choice. They had to make the horse. And I think he told me, I said, that one Rof, when he smoked the pipe, he used to get four glasses,
the matches.
The matches in every bakery.
Right. Abzundel Salant used to do like that. He used to walk around in the morning, and he used to light his pipe, and he used to throw a match into every oven. And all the Goyisha ovens and all the Goyisha bakeries to remove Pasakim, because it's cooler in Shulchan Aruch. Hashlochas kisim, not only if the Yid lit the whole oven and the guy did the baking, even if the Yid just throws in one splint of wood
to
make the fire a little better, makes ice pasakim. So he used to go in the morning before davening. People thought, what's he going lighting his pipe? And what's he going for a walk before Shacharis? So this was his tzidkus, that he used to go to every Goyish bakery in town, and he used to say he'd like to light his pipe, may believe he wants to light his pipe, and then he would throw the match back into the oven to remove the pasak. Yeah. In Shulchan Aruch we're makel, the Ramos makel, if it's pas palter. Again, because pas, al alechem yichyeh adam, says makel, if it's a palter, if it's my next door neighbor baked Italian bread, and I was watching the way he made it on brand new kalim and all the ingredients are kosher, I'm not allowed to eat it. That's pasakim, it may lead to intermarriage. But if it's, let's say he's a palter, let's say he's the baker, he bakes for everybody. So he didn't bake it specifically for me, so I have more kirov hadas with the goy, I'm going to fall in love with his daughter. This time an Italian, sometimes tama goy will marry his daughter. Why should you think that a yid is going to marry his daughter? So that's why the Ramah is makel on pas palter. The discussion in the Gemara and Taisus and the Rishonim, so Allah Alamaisa Dashkenazim Amekal on that, that whenever it's palter, whenever it's for the public, it's he bakes for everybody, so there's no special Kiruv Hadas with one specific Eid, so that's Mutter. So that's also a Machlekes, whether that Kula applies to Bishul or not. That Machlekes already didn't make its way into Shulchan Aruch. That opinion was rejected, that the Kula of Palter does not apply to Bishul, only applies to Pas. Because the Shach recommends over there, and that's the first page in the second Chelik Yeridei. So the Shach writes there that even though Ashkenazim all follow the Ramo, and the Ramo is Mekel on the Pas Palter, so he thinks that here it's a Shvere Kula, and it's Kedai that even we Ashkenazim should follow the Chumras HaMechaber, that you should be careful not to eat Pas Palter. So the Ma'ase said, most people are not careful all year long, just on a Seres Yimei Tshuva shtei. Seres Yimei Tshuva, you should be medaktik, you should be machmar and everything, so you should try to eat pas yisol, you should try to avoid pas palter. And Shabbos, right. It says in Shulchan Aruch that Shabbos and Yom Tov, you should avoid eating pas akum, pas palter. Right. Okay, maybe we'll start from the Mishnah. On Chof Aleph and Beis, there are two Mishnahs. Let's start from the first Mishnah. The Mishnah has a machlekes b'shamer b'shilol regarding the details of the din of Eichel Nefesh. How far does Eichel Nefesh go? So Beis Shammai say, you're not permitted, lo yechem adam chamin l'raglov, you're not allowed to heat up water to bathe your feet, elin kein ruim l'shtiyo, unless it's clean water, and you'll be, and it's roi to drink, and it's roi to drink of it. What does it help if it's roi to drink, but I don't plan to drink? It's roi theoretically to drink, but I don't plan to drink. Let's see. So one could have interpreted, Taisa doesn't like this pshat, one could have interpreted that's the din of hoyel. Hoyel means like this, let's say I'm cooking on Yontif, and I'm going to put it away for next week. I'm having a Sheva Brachas next week. So the Balabasta is busy, she's busy all week long, she goes to work. So Yontif, she has off, so on Yontif she's going to cook all the food for the Sheva Brachas. So that's oy for me yontiv lachol. See, you're not allowed to cook or bake on yontiv, mm-hmm. after yontiv. That the Reichen Rebbe is only on yontiv, yontiv. But what if it's like this? She cooks a lot of food on yontiv. Theoretically, she could eat all the food on yontiv. Not she'll eat all the food. She'll plot. She can invite all the people from all the Yidden from the whole community, and they can eat everything on yontiv. She doesn't plan to invite everybody. Her intention is she's going to save it for a bar mitzvah, for a sheva brachas or something. She doesn't plan to invite all the people, but theoretically, it could be eaten. Even though what she has in mind is to eat it b'chol, she does not have in mind to eat it b'yontif. But since theoretically there is such a possibility, so that's a machloikis in psochim on daf mevavim and beis. That's called hoyel v'imikli le'achim chazilei. Since if guests would pop in, they could theoretically eat up all the food. Kendall Gemalt signs, and maybe the case sets itself up as Zeichel Nefesh automatically. Maybe you don't need kavanas agavra to be kaver. That this has now been labeled as Eichel Nefesh, maybe Eichel Nefesh, that from Zichalein Eichel Nefesh, if it's right to be eaten by Yidin on Yontif, if you live in a community where there are only five Jews, in the Middle Ages they had things like that. Sometimes the Baalei Hatais lived in a community, there are only five Jews in the whole community.
The possibility is only needed.
If you have the potential.
The possibility has to exist.
So that's a machlekes Rabba v'Rav Yosef, Rabba Rav Chizde, machlekes Rabba Rav Chizde. And we pass, most of the Rishonim pass like Rabbi, that the potential to eat it on Yontif is enough to remove the Issa Deraisa of Bishul. It's the fact that theoretically it could have been eaten on Yontif, is called Eichel Nefesh, takes off the Issa Malacha, and it's only forbidden with the Rabbanon. With the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to rely on the potential. With the Rabbanon, you have to have really Kavona, intending actually to eat it today on Yontif. So Tosis wants to know over here, what's pshat in the Beis Shammai here? Beis Shammai say, you're not allowed to heat up water on Yontif to bathe your feet unless the water is clean. Rusty water is good to wash your feet, but it's no good to drink.
Yeah.
So if you have clean water, if you're heating up the water in a kettle, and theoretically you could have used the water for drinking purposes, so the theoretical possibility is enough to take off the Yisr Bishul. That's what the Beis Shammai mean. So Tosis Rektakasha, how can it be? There is a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What do you say? Mitoich. What does mitoich mean? Let's say the guy's not going to on sukkahs, on Yontav sukkahs. So if I have to carry the food to the sukkah, I have to walk in the street to carry the food from the kitchen to the sukkah, that's Eichel Nefesh. I have to eat the food in the sukkah. I want to carry the chairs to the sukkah, a tablecloth, I want to carry candles, whatever you want to carry. Ben Shalach, a machzer, a mishnayah. So let's say, when I carry the chairs to sit in the sukkah and to eat in the food, that's called Eichel Nefesh. What about when I carry the mishnayos to the sukkah?
Yeah.
That's already not Eichel Nefesh. Are you allowed to do that? Or let's say you carry a lulav to shul, or you carry a talis zekel to shul on Yontif with a machzor, on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to carry. On the first day Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos, Vayitim, you're not allowed to carry. Second day Rosh Hashanah. So to carry food is Eichel Nefesh. What about to carry a machzor, to carry a talis? That's not Eichel Nefesh. That's called mitoich. So that was the machlokes we had in the first parak between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. So the Beis Shammai say the heter Eichel Nefesh is only Eichel Nefesh literally, and there's no heter to do malachas for anything other than Eichel Nefesh. You know heter mitoich. And we pass on like the Beis Hillel. So Tosfos spek takasha whether it's with our Kal Vachomer. It's a question if it's a legitimate Kal Vachomer. They ask, but the Beis Shammai don't believe in mitoich. You're only allowed to do a malach actually for Eichel Nefesh. So if they don't believe in mitoich, so they certainly don't believe in hoyel.
Wow.
Why is that a kal v'chomer? What has one got to do with the other? Mitoich is ananda ma'isim. Mitoich, I want to know, am I allowed to carry a machzer to shul on Rosh Hashanah? It's not food, nothing to do with food. It's not right. You can't even eat the machzer if you want to eat the machzer. You can't even eat the talis if you want to eat the talis. What shah? So there's no echal nevesh. The Beis Shammah holds you're not allowed to. But on something that is food, but I'm cooking on Rosh Hashanah for the bar mitzvah that's going to take place next week. So that is echal nevesh. I say theoretically it sets itself up as Eichel Nefesh. Yeah. Well, how did Tosis know there's a Kol HaChaim? But that's Rabbi Kiveger asked that kasha. Tosis here in Shabbos, here the last Tosis says, Tosis, what's the reason for the Bishamai? That if the water is Roy L'shtiyah, if it's clean water, not rusty, then you're allowed to heat it up in order to bathe your feet, in order to wash his feet. Why is it mutter if it's clean water? Well, because theoretically if he wants to, he could drink it, but that's Hoyle. Theoretically, since he could have used it, but the lemaisa he doesn't plan to drink it. Mm-hmm. He plans to wash his feet with it. So what is it? What Beis Shammai believe in hoyo, but they don't even believe in mitar. How can they believe in hoyo? So who says that there's a shaychus with the two? So Rabbi Kiveger Tzechen Don and Shabbos in Perikir, Rabbi Kiveger quotes up the Feirish Gemara against Tosis that you can hold from hoyo even though you don't believe in mitar. So it's a problem. Why did Tosis think that it's a kal v'chomer? But anyway, Tosis says. The Yerushalmi gives this pshat. This is quoting Yerushalmi, it's not their fault. When the Mishnah says that according to the Yerushalmi, you're only allowed to heat up the water if it's Roy L'shtiya, it doesn't mean if theoretically it's Roy L'shtiya. It means he's going to heat up a whole kettle full of water, he's going to drink a cup of water, and the rest of the water he's going to wash his feet. So that's called Marbe B'Shiurim. That's the halacha. If I take a kettle, and if I only have a little bit of water, I put the kettle on the fire and it's cooking, and then I decide, hey, I want more water in order to be able to wash my feet, and then I take a cup and then I start adding. So every time I add water, that's another malacha, that's marbe b'malacha. So that you're not allowed to do. The Shammai will not permit you to do that. But if I hold the kettle under the faucet till it gets full to the top, and then I put it on the fire in one nesina, I place it on the fire in one shot, so that's one act of Malecha's Bishul for the whole kettle. If I keep on pouring in with a cup, another cup full of water into the kettle as it's sitting on the fire, another cup. So every time I pour in another cup, I'm doing another Malecha. I'm doing the Malecha, not for the purpose of eating. So the Shammai would not permit that. But if I have a whole kettle all full already, and then I put the whole kettle on the fire, there's one Malecha with Marbe B'Shiurim, okay. So that's the Malecha. That Marbe B'Shiurim on Yontav is Mutter. That's the Yerushalmi interprets in the Beis Shammai.
Don't they have the same thing in meat? Let's say, you want to slice a whole steak, you can make a whole...
I'm permitted to cook a whole 5-pound roast.
You can't make many pieces.
Right.
You can't cook many pieces.
Right.
Look. He has to drink first.
I don't know if he has to drink first. He has to have a mind to drink part of it. Okay, he can drink either at the beginning or the end. Okay. He has to have a mind to drink part of it. Right. You have to say like that. You have to say that he's going to drink some of it. You can't say that the Beis Shammai is based on hoyel. Hoyel is only a din on the level of the Raisim. The Rabbanim, you're not allowed to use hoyel. So what does it help if... even if Rabbi Kiveger would be right, Rabbi Kiveger proves that Tosis made a mistake. He says, even if you don't subscribe to Mitoich, but you have to hold from Hoyle, since it has the potential of drinking it, so it's still Mutta Menatar, but it's Asma Dirabbanan. So how do Beis Shammai say you're allowed to heat up the water because of the potential? The potential removes the Yisad Deraisa, it doesn't remove the Yisad Dirabbanan. You have to say, like Tosis quoted from Yerushalmi, there's no way out. The Beis Shammai only permit you to heat up the water if you plan to drink part of the water. So you have a head to Rechon Nefesh on part of it, then Marbe Bishurim is Mutter. There's no added malo. And we don't paskin like the Beis Shammai. We paskin you're allowed to heat up even rusty water that's just not fit for human consumption or just for the feet. Bisilu Matirim. Bisilu say you're permitted to heat up water even though you don't plan to drink any of it, even though it's not Roy L'shtiya at all. Why is it Taka Roy L'shtiya? Why is it Taka Mutter according to the Bisilu? So this is a gigantic Rashba in the first parak. The Rashba is a long column, very unusual for the Rashba, very long. And he presents a machlekes a Rishonim, why is it mutter? So he says, half of the Rishonim say that according to Beis Hillel, this is called Eichel Nefesh. Eichel Nefesh means any hanuas aguf. If the person wants to carry the machzer to daven from, he wants to carry a talis, a lulav, That's not hanoras aguf. That's for religious purposes. That's called mitoich. So that's the machlokes b'sham and misilu. Are you allowed to do a malacha yomta for other purposes? Tzarach hayom ktsav. Do you say, since any malacha that you're allowed to violate, tzarach hayom ktsav, you're also allowed to violate for any other religious purpose, any tzarach hayom or not? But Beisilu say over here, this is not based on mitoch. This is called echol nefesh mamish. That's one opinion in the Rashba. That's the view that he likes. And then he quotes the Rambam's opinion and says no. The Rambam, the Pirush HaMishnayis, and the Yad HaZok, the Rambam says no. That the Beisilu are just saying the din of mitoch. They're just staying over the same din of mitoich. Bishamai al shitasam in the first period. Bishamai say you're only that permitted to do malach on yontif to enable you to eat food, oichal nefesh, to eat or to drink. So there's no heter to cook up water in order to bathe. And the Bishilu say no. They allow you to carry a lulav, they allow you to carry a talis, they allow you to carry a machzor. So they also allow you to cook up water to bathe your feet. That's called tzarach hayom tzas shar tzarachim. Is mitoch. What's the difference whether the pshat we pass like Bishilu, that one is permitted to heat up the water, even though it's rusty water and it's not roi l'shti at all, we pass and you're permitted to heat up the water on yantav in order to bathe your feet. What's the difference whether you accept pshat A or pshat B? What's the difference whether the heter is, because this is the heter of mitoch? Mitoch shuot shalai chanav shuot shalai chanav shalai chanav shalai chanav. He's saying, no, it's better than mitoch, it's echal nefesh mamish. That Bishilu disagrees with Bishama, what's the definition of echal nefesh? Bishilu hold, even Hanuas Aguf is also called Echon Nefesh. What's the difference? Whether the heter is Mitech or the heter is Echon Nefesh Mamish? So he mentioned when we learned the first parak, some Rishonim say that there's a big difference. Echon Nefesh is mutter to do on Yantav even if you could have done it on Erev Yantav. As opposed to Tzarach HaYom Ktsas, the Raibin hold that it's only mutter on Yantav if it couldn't have been taken care of on Erev Yantav. So that would be the Shaila. Let's say the guy could have filled up palace, a bathtub full of hot water on Erev Yontif. He wants to take a hot bath on Leil Yontif for some reason or another. So what if he could have filled up the bathtub on Erev Yontif? It would be, he would fill it up with burning hot water, and when it would come 3 hours later, it will still be warm enough to take a bath. He could have done it on Erev Yontif, and he didn't. So if it's called Eichel Nefesh Mamish, we're going to talk about the bath. Okay. He points out the heter of the Bishilu is only a daim raglaim, not a bit. That's what we have to talk in the next topic. The Tosfos. Okay, good. That's the next topic. So the Shaila is, thank you very much. So the Shaila is, what if it could have been taken care of on Erev Yontif? So if the heter of Bishilu is based on Mitoch, so then it's not right to use the heter. If you could have avoided the whole thing, let's say you could easily have brought your talis to shul. If you have an Erev, you can carry the talis on Shabbos. You're not doing a malacha, but let's say you don't have an Erev. I could have easily carried the talis to shul on Erev Rosh Hashanah. I daven in the shul, unless I'm afraid there's too many people, is going to disappear. It's too crowded in the shul. Okay, that's a different story. Well, let's say it's a little shul, not so crowded. You daven the yeshivas. No one's going to walk off with my talis. So I could have easily carried the talis on Erev. I'm davening there on Erev Yontav anyway, Leil Yontav. So if I could have easily carried it on Erev Yontav, then it's not right to carry it on Yontav. Then you should really wear the talis. Wear the talis, wear a coat on top, whatever. Wear the talis to shul. Don't carry the talis to shul. But if the heter of the Beisilu is that it's Echal Nefesh Mamish, then even if you could have done it on Erev Yontav, then it's still Mutar on Yontav. Now is the Shaila, why does the Mishnah only say about washing the feet? And what if he wants to take a whole shower? What if he wants to take a whole bath? What does the Mishnah only say on feet? So the Rishonim are all medayik that it would appear from the Mishnah that you're not allowed to. The heter of the Bishilu, that you're allowed to cook water on Yontif in order to bathe, is only hochim lahochim chame leraglov, not lahochim chame lechalaglov, not to take a full shower. That's the Shaila why. So that's the last line of Tosis. V'davke leraglov. And the last Tosis, the last line and a half. So they write v'davke leraglov. The Mishnah only says you're allowed to heat up water on Yontif to wash your feet. Pan of yadav raglov, to wash your face, the ends of your feet. Avol lachol gufa, but to take a full shower, a full bath, mode, even the Bishilu would admit to osa. That's the Shaila why. That's the mashmoes of the Mishnah. Why is that so? So this is the famous machlekes Tosis in the Ramban. So Tosis says that you're not allowed to because that's a Gemara in the first parak in Ksubis. The Gemara says in Ksubis they used to have a practice bizman atanoim that after they finished the meal, they used to bring coals and they used to put mugmar. They used to put incense on the coal. Nothing to do with any religious ceremony. totally unrelated to religion. They used to have a fragrant smell. They used to enjoy it. So they used to do it in the weekday. Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to carry coals. You're not allowed to put things on the coals to burn. So the Shabbos, what about on Yom Tov? They want to put this incense to burn on the coals.
You could.
To, that it should smell well. So yeah. The Gemara says, despite the fact that you get hanoi from it, you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov, because the pasuk says, "Acha sheyoch lechol nefesh, lechol nefesh." What's that? This lechol nefesh? Zolstein, acha sheyoch lenefesh, acha sheyoch adam, acha sheyoch leadam. What's that? This lechol nefesh? So the Gemara says, "It's a mashmoy dava hashove lechol nefesh." It means food and drinks that common. Everybody would have hanoi, but this. A lot of people never did this. This is only mefunakim. Only for some people enjoyed it, and some people didn't enjoy it. If it's only for the rich, because they can afford it, and the poor people can't afford it, that the Gemara says that is called shavu l'chol nefesh. Because the Gemara says, what about pheasant, and what about duck, and what about deer? Deer's meat. Only the millionaires eat it. So the Gemara says, but if the poor people could afford it, they would also do it. So that is called shavu l'chol nefesh. But if it's an issue. That it's only letainuk. It's not really lebrius. It's only letainuk. So then the Gemara says that's a din that a din deraisa that you're not allowed to do such a malach on Yom Tov. That's only don letainuk. That some people enjoy, some people don't enjoy.
Like smoking.
That's what the Paskim talk about smoking. That's what they talk about smoking. That most people didn't smoke. So that's why it's, perhaps it should be offset to smoke. And then the Pnei Yeshua writes, but Pnei Yeshua writes in Shabbos. That even though most people don't smoke, Pnei Yeshua lived in the 1700s. So he, I don't know what kind of smoking they had at that time. So he says that the purpose of the smoking was to help digest the food. It wasn't the tainik bomb. It was to help digest the food. So he says even though it's a minority, should be a minority of the people who smoke, but they don't do it the tainik bomb, but they do it to help digest. And Taisa says that is the definition of shavel chol nefesh versus zayna shavel chol nefesh. Doesn't matter what percentage of the population enjoy it. It depends, is it lebrius? That's the definition that Tesis gives. Whenever it's something that's done lebrius haguf, for one's good health, that's called erchon nefesh. Whenever it's done the tainik bialma, that's called dovashen ish erchon nefesh. He claims, the Pnei Yeshua, who lived in the 1700s, claims that smoking is lebrius haguf. So even though hardly anybody does it, that's mutter.
Now we know it's
today for sure it's not. Today for sure it's not lebrius. If anything, it should be awesome in the weekdays. Yeah. Forget about Yom Tov. So today, the Pashto says that it's certainly awesome. Today, it's not lebrius aguf at all. Yeah. It's only letainik be'alma. You shouldn't smoke in the weekdays. And for sure, you're not allowed to smoke on Yom Tov. I'll be Pashto.
Is there any provide music, to play music on Yom Tov, or on Netflix?
That's much mere call.
Music, to play music, to play with the fiddle. Clarinet.
To play music per se is not a malacha. Even on Shabbos it's not a malacha. The Tanoim prohibited it. Shema Yisakin Mona. Maybe he'll fix a broken violin. Maybe he'll fix the broken piano. So that you're not allowed to fix on Yom Tov either. That you're not allowed to fix on Yom Tov. To play the piano should be mutter on Shabbos too. Playing per se is not a malacha.
Yeah, violin, you can put your fix the string yourself.
That's a shaila. Oh, that's the Ramban sheet. Yeah. That's the Ramban horse like this. Here.
It's just a Shema.
Shema. Yeah, it's a gzera. It's not a malacha. It's not even a malacha midirabbanan. It's a gzera. We don't permit you to play piano on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Gzera Shema Yisak and Mona. Maybe he'll fix the kli. So again, so here Tosis raises the question. From the Mishnah, you get the distinct impression that the Mishnah only has a dispute between Misham and Mesila about heating up water to wash raglov. But what about to take a shower or a bath? So it would appear from the Mishnah, not allowed to shower. Why not? So Tosis claims that which Meshugana takes a shower or a bath?
Yeah.
So Shvachtachop, who? Why is the guy doing such a silly thing? I'm a funik. I'm a Meshugana. That's not normal. That's like smoking. So since it's Dov Shein Shavu L'chol Nefesh, hardly anybody takes a whole bath. So that's why you're not allowed to do it. The Ramban, the Bali Atesis lived in France and Germany. So I guess that was the practice. They hardly ever took a bath. But the Ramban lived in Spain, so he says they take a bath all the time. They always take a bath, kol aguf. And they do it lebrius aguf. So how can you say that's Dov Shein Shavu L'chol Nefesh? Of course they do it lebrius aguf. The Ramban says he cannot, and if that's the only reason, if Tosis is the only reason, then Mizman Azeh would be mutter to take a bath on Yontif.
Yeah.
On Shabbos, not when you turn on the hot water, you're causing new water to get cooked, so it's Bishul. But on Yontif, it would be mutter to take a hot bath. So that's what the Ramban writes. He doesn't agree with Tosis Tam. He says, not only is it not true today, he doesn't think that it was ever true, Bizman HaTanoim, that taking a whole bath and a whole shower was Dov Shein HaShavu L'chol Nefesh, that the only did it, L'tainik Balma, Justin Mufunokim did it. He doesn't think that it's true. He says that the reason why you're not allowed to do it is because of the Gzeirat HaBalonim, that the Mishnah says in Masech HaShabbos, in the third Perek, that they didn't have, every person didn't have a bath and a shower in their own home. They used to have a public bathhouse. So they had to have a balon, a bathhouse attendant, who would be in charge to make sure that there's enough hot water for everybody. When you go to Eretz Yisrael on the tour, they sometimes show you the old bathhouses from the days of the Tanoim.
Well,
because
after the war, we didn't have a shower or bath. You had to go to a bathhouse to take a shower.
So the bathhouse attendants were obviously not the most religious Jews. They weren't so observant. So they didn't want to heat up all the water on Erev Shabbos. It cost a fortune of money to burn so much fuel to keep all the water hot from Erev Shabbos. So they knew when the customers would be coming on Shabbos. Shabbos morning they're going to daven in shul, and Shabbos afternoon, chreis after the cholim, whatever, they're going to come to the bathhouse. So an hour or two before the customers came, they would turn on the fires, and they would heat up. They would do malachas on Shabbos. They weren't so observant, so they would do malachas on Shabbos, heat it up. So the Tanoim made a prohibition: you're not allowed to take a hot bath or a hot shower on Shabbos. Yishum gzeiras habalonim, because we don't trust the bathhouse attendants. And even if the guy swears on a stack of Sifrei Torah that it was heated up on, and even if you know the fact that it was heated up on Erev Shabbos, also you're not allowed to. All included in the Gzeiras HaBalonim, because they saw what a kilkel was coming out of it.
Today we have our own bath and our own shower. We're not dependent upon
So that's Gzeiras, right? So they made this Gzeiras HaBalonim. So the Ramban writes a chiddush. The Ramban writes that this gzeira was introduced originally on Shabbos. On Yontav, it doesn't really make any sense. On Yontav, you are permitted to heat up water. That's what they say. Let's say you're allowed to heat up water. But he says, once they made a gzeira for Shabbos, the gzeira even applies on Yontav as well.
But
and he quotes, even though the reason doesn't apply.
You're not allowed to cook food on Shabbos, right?
Yes.
Still on Yontav, you're allowed to cook food?
No. Oh, so that's what the Ramban says. Cooking food is a malacha. So whatever is a malacha, there are rice, a malacha, there are bonum. There are three categories of prohibitions. A malacha, there are rice, a malacha, there are bonum, and a gzera. Let's say playing a piano. Playing a piano is not even a malacha, but there are bonum. We don't allow you to do it. Shemo, at least. You know, riding a horse on Shabbos is really mutam and atayra, and it's not a malacha, but there are bonum. Zera shemi yitlush, maybe. Not allowed to climb up on a tree, maybe you'll break off a branch. So that's not even a malacha, but there are bonum. That's a gzera, but there are bonum. You can't say, but there are bonum. Not even a malacha b'chinim with the Rabban, it's a gzeira shemo. So that's what the Ramban explains. The heter rechal nefesh only applies in the area of malachas. Malachas rechal nefesh. Achas shiachol rechal nefesh, shul devad yosel lechem goes in malachas. You're not allowed to do a malacha on Shabbos or on Yantav, but if it's a malachas rechal nefesh, then it has a heter on Yantav. But what if it's a gzeira? So that's what the Ramban quotes. A gzeira that they introduced on Shabbos applies on Yantav, even though the reason absolutely doesn't apply at all. That's the whole sugya on Yudches. The Gemara had like that you're not allowed to be tovel kelim in a mikveh, kelim that are tamei, you're not allowed to be tovel in a mikveh on Shabbos. And the Gemara gave a few different reasons, and the Gemara says quite a few of the reasons don't apply to Yontif. Gzeir Hashem Yavirenu, he may carry it in the street. Other gzeir is there. Gzeir Hashem Yischot, it may be tovel begotten and I'll squeeze it out. So several of the gzeiras don't apply on Yontif. It's really mutter to carry on there. The Gemara says no, in the area of gzeiras, whatever was nigzah that it's also on Shabbos is also on Yom Tov also. The heter of Erech HaNefesh only applies to Malachim. That's what the Ramban says over here, that the reason why you're not allowed to take a full hot bath on Yom Tov is not because of the, not that you're not allowed to because Dov Shein Nishav Lechol Nefesh, rather because of the Gzeres HaBalonim. So that's the shaila. What about bizman hazeh? What about bizman hazeh? Is one permitted? Let's say you have 2 days in a row. Sometimes you have 3 days in a row. Yontif and chutzlot. You have 3 days in a row. So we're in the practice of bathing much more often than 100 years ago. Certainly more often than 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. So what shaykh over here to say that for 3 days you can't take a shower? So according to Taisa says the whole reason why you're not allowed to heat up water on Yontif is only dov sheni shavu l'chol nefesh. By Yosid is shavu l'chol nefesh. People are perspired, they're annoyed. Ruba the ruba of the people would want to take a shower. Hot shower, hot bath. So according to Taisus, there's no problem. But in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah says you have to be choshish for the Ramban. And the Ramban says that there's exeris habalanim tarmanish. So what etzer can you give? So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't talk about taking a hot shower, hot bath. He talks about people want to go to mikveh. A person wants to go to mikveh on Yontif. So what do you do? The mikveh is ice cold. Let's say you have 3 days in a row, mikveh is ice cold. So how do you tell a person, go be tovel in icy water?
Women.
Yeah. Okay. No, let's say women. Women, men, whoever wants to go for the mikveh. So the problem, the water is ice cold. So what do you do? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Beis Meir. Beis Meir was the time of Rabbi Kivega. Beis Meir was a cousin of Rabbi Kivega in the early 1800s. So he writes, you're allowed to heat up water. That's a double shovel chal nefesh. God doesn't want a person, man or woman, doesn't want to go to a freezing mikveh. So you're permitted to heat up water in order to take out the chill. That you should heat up the water. A lot of times the mikveh is very hot. So that's exeris habalonim. One is not permitted to wash off with hot water. And even if the water is not yat soledes, that's also a machlokes acharei. Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva about that. Let's say yat soledes, we're machma 120 degrees when machma is called yat soledes. Even if the water is less than 120 degrees, but still it's lukewarm. Under 10 degrees is lukewarm. So machma also, that's also included in the gzeres habalon. But if you only heat up the water to the extent that you take out the chill, let's say a person will be prepared to take a cold shower on Yontif. So that we would say is mutter. Cold shower would be mutter. Let's say a person feels uncomfortable taking a cold shower. So to turn on the hot water to make it a hot shower, that we have to be choshish for the Ramban, you shouldn't do. Even to turn on the hot water to make it a warm shower, also not proper. But to turn on the hot water just to take out the chill, just a little bit, to take out the chill, shouldn't be ice cold. So that's the Mishnah Berurah says is mutter. That's in the Mishnah Berurah. So that's what the Shmir Shabbos Kalchasa quotes this Mishnah Berurah. He quotes this about taking showers when you have 2 days in a row. They never have 3 days in a row. They only have 2 days in a row.
Rosh Hashanah they could have 3 days.
Yeah.
No.
Cold shower on Shabbos. The Din HaGemara says that the Machlokes HaTanoim, whether they included in the Gzeres HaBalonim a cold shower, so we Shabkin Mutter. But the Magen Avraham quotes the Bali HaTesis had a minhag for a few centuries that they were machmer not to take a cold shower. So the reason Paskim say that by us it's too difficult to be machmer not to take a cold shower by us is a chumrah, because by us we're used to taking showers more often. Right? It wasn't. They weren't so cotton. They weren't so ruggle in taking showers. So they introduced the chumrah not to take a cold shower on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But by us that we take showers more often, that if a person feels that he's very perspired, so to take a cold shower on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we would be mekel. So the Mishnah says they never made a gzera. No gzera. They didn't make a gzera that you'll carry the towel. They didn't make a gzera that you'll squeeze out the towel either. There's a machlokes hatanoim. That's a different question. Let's say if you have dirty diapers. So I remember now they have, everybody has disposable diapers, but when my babies were little, so we still had from the free they could have real diapers. They didn't have disposable diapers. So a lot of times the diaper is so dirty, even though you don't want to wash it now, you want to throw it into a container full of water. So that says on Shabbos and Yontif, that's the Gemara in Zvachim, that you're not allowed to, because Shriyoso Zehu Kibuso. When you soak the dirty diaper in water, so that's the beginning of the cleansing process. You're beginning to make it a little cleaner than it was before. So Taisus Frekta Akasha Shriyos Zehu Kibusoi. So how can you ever dry your hands off in a towel? You're causing the water to get absorbed into the towel. So say Shriyos Zehu Kibusoi. So Taisus says, how can it be? You have a hand towel, and you have 100 guests over for Shabbos, and they all wash their hands, they all, so the towel should be cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. She keep on getting so clean, and she, how come it doesn't? So the answer is derech tinuch. The answer is no, you're wiping the dirt into the towel. So whenever it's derech tinuch, that takes off the yisur of shuvias zel kibusa. That's what Taisa says. It takes off the prohibition of shuvias zel kibusa.
Why should there is a lot of reply nowadays? So happy, nowadays, even in the cars, some people only in the cars are running
it. I don't know. That's called the that's a dovish of a minion. Zach minion achalat tira.
Why Jordan Ragam Mutu?
Right, the gzer, no, the gzeris habalonim, the Gemara says, was only introduced on roiv haguf, rechitzas kol haguf, but rechitzas mixtus men haguf.
They never for habalonim.
Yeah.
You do it at home.
Yeah. See, that's the shaila in Europe. They used to have all the mikvahs. Some of the mikvahs used to be warm. Some of the mikvahs used to be hot. So that's the shaila. That person has to, a woman has to go to mikvah on leil Shabbos or leil yontif. And the mikveh is hard, so what happened to the gzeres habalonim? So all the poskim will make up. Ruba de ruba of the poskim will make up. Minig all over Europe was lahokil. That's the shot. What do you mean, shame mitzvah? The hot versus cold, that's for personal comfort. That's not part of the mitzvah. So that's the shaila. So what's the heter on that? So some of the poskim said the gzeres habalonim was only introduced if a person is going to sit and soak in the bathtub for a half an hour. A person goes to mikveh, they go in, they go out. They don't sit. So that's not called rechitza. Rechitza is you take a bath. Yeah, you take a bath, you take a shower. You sit for a few minutes, chach. You sit for a while. But a person goes to mikveh, goes in and goes out. And practically, they don't sit there. That's what many poskim said. And others gave other terms. So the Balatanya has in his, the back of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he has in the Kuntra Sachan, I think. He wants, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe is known as the Balatanya. He wrote the Sefer HaTanya. So he once made a comment that if he's going to go to Gan Eden, he doesn't know, if he gets a chelik in Gan Eden, it won't be because of the Tanya, it'll be because of three things I already forgot. One is the writing of his Shulchan Aruch that he wrote, and one is the heter that he was makel that the women are about to go to a hot mikveh. I forgot what the third one is. They have in the biography. So he has a heter why he thinks it's permissible. Shver a heter. So he says that the mikveh was so big and the women would be tayvel right after Tzeitzel Kacham on Friday night. So the volume of the water was so great that it was physically impossible to heat up so much water on Leil Shabbos. So obviously the water had to be heated on Erev Shabbos. So tutuf achidish that the gzeres habalonim doesn't apply by chamesh shuchmu. We pass can even chamesh shuchmu on the Erev Shabbos, there is a gzeres habalonim. But he says only if you're going to bathe in the water Shabbos afternoon. So there was enough time, it was Bechdei Shiyasa, there was enough time that the balon could have heated up the water on Shabbos.
Yeah.
So then they made a gzeir, then they made a loiklug. But if you're bathing in the water
right
at the chilas knisas haShabbos, there wasn't even enough time that the balon could have been Mechal Shabbos to do such a stunt, to make so much
on that short time.
Couldn't have gotten hot in such a short amount of time. So he thought that the gzeir doesn't apply in such a case. So he held that that was such a wichtige heter. He's going to get, that's one third of his Olam Haba. It's going to be because of that heter. By men it'll be the problem. Okay.
Yeah.
Regular what?
That's your lot to do. There's a pilot. Right?
What do you cause? He may cause the fire to go on that wasn't on at all.
If there's a pilot, there's no to go.
I thought there is a pilot.
Yeah.
If there's a possibility,
there's no pilot,
you have
to
find out. If there's a possibility that the fire went out in Gunston and now the fire's going to go on, that's Moled Eish Mecharim.
That
you know.
There is no way.
Yeah,
there is no way.
But if there is a pilot, then by using up the hot water, you're going to cause the pilot to cause the gas to go. So, okay, so
it's
you're doing havar on Yom Tov. So this is the machlekes again. Beishamim misol. So Beishamim say you're not permitted to do the malach of heating up water on Yom Tov to bathe fun of Yadav Eraglov, unless you plan to drink part of that water. If you plan to drink it and you cook it all in one shot, so that's marbe b'shurim, so then it's mutter. And the Basil disagreed and saying, no, you are permitted to cook water even though it's rusty water and it's not roi l'shtiyah at all. You're permitted to cook it either because it's mamash al nefesh or because it's mitoch, or it's because it's tzach yom tzav, so it's 2 days in the Rashba. Then the Mishnah continues, osa adam medura u'mischamim kenegda. You're permitted to make a big bonfire on Yantel. You take a lot of logs and you have a flame that's already lit. You're not allowed to be moiladesh mechadish. You're not allowed to strike a match on Yantel. But if you already have a flame and you make you cause a piece of paper to burn and you cause the logs to burn, you're allowed to make a whole big bonfire on Shabbos u'mischamim kenegda to warm up the body based on that warm fire. So the Gemara is not sure this last line in the Mishnah, is this only Aliba the Beis Hillel or even Beis Shammai Amaskin? It doesn't say on the last line that it's a Machlegis Beis Shammai Amaskin, but maybe it's a continuation of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel Matirim, and then Oysa the Madura Mechamim Connect, it's right to Beis Hillel. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's not Oichal Nefesh, it's Hanua Saguf. So this Hanua Saguf should be the Machlegis Beis Shammai Amaskin. So the Gemara is not sure. Iboy Luhu, they weren't sure. They had a suffix. Hi Madura Man Katoni Lo. Whose opinion is it? Should I assume Divrei Hakol? The last line in the Mishnah, everybody agrees to. I, why did Beishamai disagree? Beishani Luhu, the Beishamai. Beishamai distinguished. They distinguished their Mechalek between the 2 cases, between Hanos Kologuf, Hanos Everechot. To wash pan of Yad Veraglov, they hold it. It's not a heter to heat up water. But the Mischamim Kenegda to warm up the whole body, then they agree with the Beis Hillel that that is permissible. Oy Dilma, perhaps I should say Beis Hillel Ktani Lo. Maybe it's only Beis Hillel hold that it's mut and it's lishitasa. Just like they hold you're allowed to heat up water in order to wash the parts of the body, you're allowed to make a fire to warm the body. Aval Beis Shammai, lo shani lo. Beis Shammai do not distinguish between heating up water to bathe raglov and making a madur Mischamim Kenegda. Zog demar toshma. There's a Beferish Raisa that says that it's a Machlekes B'Sham and B'Sil. Yeah. We won't have to make any Dakas Dikachiluk. B'Sham Yom Lo Yasa the Maduri B'Sham Kenegni. Not allowed to make a bonfire. B'Sil and Matir. It's a Machlekes B'Sham and B'Sil.
It's not
Erechon Nefesh. And the B'Sil don't agree and they don't subscribe to the Din of Mitoch. And B'Shamai hold it. It's not Erechon Nefesh and B'Shamai don't believe in the Din of Mitoch. And B'Sil are either matir, either because they hold that it's Erechon Nefesh Mamish, or because they hold that it's Mitoch. Okay. This we learned already a long time ago. It's just Chazor. Let's do the next Mishnah. Shlosh Dvarim, Rabbi Gamliel, Machmer, Kediri, B'Shamai. Whenever you have a Machlek is B'Shamai and B'Sil, so Ruba of the cases, the Pesach is like the Beis Hillel. The Gemara says in the first Perek and Shabbat that there were 18 cases, 18 Zeres, the Yud Ches Dovar, where on one occasion the Beis Shammai were in the majority, so they voted in their opinions. So the 18 Zeres Midirabbanan where we pass on like Beis Shammai. Then Tosis in the beginning of Sukkah has another six cases. Tosis has another six cases where we pass on like the Beis Shammai. So it comes out 18-6 is 24 cases where we pass on like the Beis Shammai. But the other cases, we don't pass on like the Beis Shammai. Let's say when you have a machloikah, so usually when we paskin which way the halacha is, but still it's a midas, there is a concept. There is a midas chasidus to be choshish for the other opinion. But not by Bishamah and Bishilah. The Gemara says Bishamah and Bishilah. The Gemara says there isn't even a midas chasidus to do like Bishamah. So here the Mishnah records that Rabbi Gamliel used to be machma like Bishamah on 3 different things. What were the 3 things? Ein time nenes hachamin lachatchila biyontif. When Yontif is on Erev Shabbos, so they don't, they Shammai hold, you're not, Machlegi B'Shammai B'Silu, and Rabbi Gamliel was Machma like the B'Shammai, you're not allowed to be Matmin, a warm kettle, a hot kettle of water, to wrap it up in towels on Yontif to keep it warm on Leil Shabbos. From Mitzvah Yontif Shabbos. They hold you're not allowed to. What's wrong? We're going to have to find out what's wrong. Why did B'Shammai say you're not allowed to? Number two, Vein Zerk Finis Haminara B'Yontif. Let's say you have a leichter. And the leichter is lying flat, sideways. So you're not allowed to take the leichter, put it up, straighten it out.
Why not?
What's that mukta? On Shabbos, if you lit in the leichter, it's mukta. But it's yontif. On Shabbos, if you didn't light in the leichter, it's also not so glad. It's not so poshut that it's mukta. If you lit in the leichter, so the flame is the mukta, so the whole leichter is poshut davaras. If you didn't light in the leichter, it's not so poshut. Rabbi Kedega thinks that maybe it's not muktzah. That's a shaila. But what's wrong over here? That's where Rashi says on the Mishnah. And Zaykrim Mashma, the Gemara is going to say that that's not pshat. But Rashi writes Mashma, the simple pshat is Imnach Laha Menorah Shel Mateches. If a metal menorah is lying flat sideways, and Zaykrim Mashiva Moshe, you're not allowed to set it up in an erect position. The Gemara is going to say, why not? What's wrong? You're not allowed to move around a lechta, a menorah. Yeah.
Right.
So the Gemara doesn't understand what could be the problem. Why did Bishamai say you're not allowed to set up upright a from a menorah? The Gemara is going to explain, no, it's a menorah with different pieces. You're screwing the pieces together. Fell apart. Not that it's flat and you put it up straight. It fell apart and you're screwing it together. That's the problem. And Zaykrim does mean Lisko. Okay. And the third thing the Gemara is going to discuss, and Zaykrim Pitin Gritzim Elari kicking, and not allowed to bake fat loaf of bread. Mishum Tirche, Rashi says, on Yontif, and the Besilo say it is permissible. Machleg is Beshamah and Besilo, and Rabbi Gamliel was Machman like the Beshamah. Only thin waiters. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Mimeim Shal Besam. So Rabbi Gamliel says, it's not my fault. That's what they did in his father's home. He remembers from his father's home. So that's what he passes to everybody else, that he has a family tradition that the dinner is like Bishamai on these three things. So the other Tanaim said, what are you talking about? Your father was the Nasi before you. He didn't pass the Chumra on everybody else. He had a private Chumra, but for everybody else he was Mekel. He was Machmel Yatzmo. Or Mekel Acherim. What are you changing the Psak? You forgot already.
Yeah.
Rabbi Gamliel was Machmel for the Gans Klal Yisrael, and no one's allowed to do these. So he said that that's not right. He says, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Mimeim Shal Beisabi, he remembers as a child, growing up in his father's home, we never did these things. Lo Yof, Pete and Greets, and Lori Kikin. Amar Lo, said the other Tanaim said, Ma Nasa Le Beisavicho, they weren't Machmel for everybody, they had personal Chumre. Shoy Machmir Mamalatzma, Mekirim Lechol Yisrael, Beisav, and Pete and Greets, and Beharorim. For everybody else, they weren't Mekel. So the Gemara is going to have to discuss each one of these issues. What is the problem over here? What is the Nekudas HaMachlokes between Bisham and Bisul? So the Gemara goes one at a time.
Nekudas. Why that Kel does not apply that the Bisham Einer Mishnah, the book on Bisulot? You're not allowed to do it. Moses says, but he didn't like Bisham Rav Tarfin, lie down to Lee Krishma.
Tosis and Brochus asked that kasha. The Mishnah says Rab Tarfin was Machmir. There's a Machlekes Bishamai Bisil in the first parak in Brochus. Bishamai say that you have to say Kriyash Ma B'shoch B'cho. B'kumech B'shoch B'cho means in a reclining position. And Bisil will say no, B'zman Shchiva. B'zman that people are, that's the Zman, the time that you say Kriyash Ma. But it doesn't mean the position that you should be in a reclining position when you recite the Kriyash Ma. So the Mishnah says that Rab Tarfon was Korah Vihita. He reclined, and they told him that he did wrong. He shouldn't do that. So Tosfos Frek Akasha that the Gemara says in the end of Brachas that there is a machlekes Bisham and Bisila about benching. Let that person ate a meal, and he didn't bench. Somehow he forgot to bench, and he went somewhere else. So Bisham said you have to go back to the original location, even if it's going to take you a big tircha, 15 minutes driving back. You have to bench where you ate. And they still say, L'chatchila, maskem, you should bench in the same place where you ate. But if by mistake you went already somewhere else, and it's a 15-minute trip to go back, you're not matriachah that you have to go back. So the Gemara says there were two Talmidim, one followed the din, and one was machma like the Bishamai. So the one who was machma like the Bishamai found a pot full of gold. A wallet full of gold.
Pigeon. A golden bird.
I forgot. Yeah. I don't know. He struck it rich. He was rewarded for being machma like the Beishamai. And the one who just followed the din, he was killed. So Taisa says, you see from the Gemara that the proper thing, even if you hold like Beisila, the proper thing is to be machma like the Beishamai. Ben Teresh should be machma like the Beishamai. So what did Rab Tarfon do? That's wrong. He was machma like the Beishamai. So Taisa claims that it depends what the case is, what the issue is. So Taisus says the machlekes Bisham Bisil by Kriyashma is a machlekes in Parshanas HaMikra. How do you translate Bishoch B'cho? So Bishamai translates in a reclining position. Bisil will say Falsh Kalem Pshat and Pasig. That's Falsh Pshat.
The time.
So if you're going to be machman like Bishamai, it's Falsh Pshat. That's absolutely 100% wrong. But over there, about going back to bench, Bisil, also I'm asking, he's supposed to bench Bimkom. the Gemidas Chassidus to spend 15 minutes to go back. Bissell says it's not necessary, but if you go back, Tav Ola Brocha, the Bissell would agree. So that's why the one who went back, he was rewarded, whatever, he was Matzliach. And the one who didn't do the Midas Chassidus, even though the Din says that he doesn't have to, but since he was at Ben Tyron, he knew that the Beshame Hol Faket, and he thought Chavrusa was going back. He didn't have Chavrusa anyway. He didn't have the Chavrusa to learn with anyway. So he should have also gone back. That's what Taisus says. The Rav said a little differently. The Rav said that the Beis Hillel disagree with the Beis Shammah because it says Belech Tucho Baderech. So they understand from Belech Tucho Baderech Kol Adam Kori Kedarkai. So he said to be Machma like the Beis Shammah, not like Taisus said Falsh Galam Shat and Pasik, that the word Beshoch Bucho means Bizman Shchiva as opposed to in a reclining position. But it rather means the Pasik says Belech Tucho Baderech has to be Kol Adam Kori Kedarkai. So if a person he's going to put the talus over it, over the head, and he's going to stand up specially for Kriya Shema. He's going to make hachanas, put on a tie, and prepare himself specially for Kriya Shema. This is an outright violation of the din of Kol Adam Kori Kedarkai. That's exactly what the halacha says, that the Ribbono Shel Olam does not want us to. Not only doesn't require of us to make any hachanas, he says Kol Adam Kori Kedarkai. He wants everybody to come as you are. He wants everybody to say Kriya Shema in the position that they are. So if you're going to go out of your way to recite the Kriya Shema in a reclining position, it's against the din. That's why the Rav had, he said that he had a tradition from his grandfather Rav Chaim, and his father did like that, that he used to wear the talus over his head for Baruch Hu, but then for Kriya Shema with the brachas, he took off the talus. He didn't have the talus over his head. Why? They said that the Taz and Simon Ches and Hilchas Tzitzis quote this medrash that Benoik Shabbailam and Melach Basav Adam, let you go to a Lubavitcher Chasana. So when they'll read a letter from the Rebbe, they insist everybody has to stand up. Everybody has to stand up because they're reading a letter from the Rebbe. So that's what it says in the Medrash. Benoik Shabbailam, when they read a document that's sent by the king, so they require everybody has to stand up. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is an easygoing fellow. He says, read the Krishna, Yoshe, Vaymate, Shoche, whatever you want, with Atifa, without Atifa. Ribbono Shel Olam does not matriach, he doesn't want to dafket to say with the talus ibrinko. So that's what the Rav said, based on that taz. He says that his grandfather Rav Chaim and his father had such a minik that when they said, in the Rishonim,
I can say you don't put it on. But if you have it on already, if I have my hat on, and you take off my hat and I get to Kriya Shema,
doesn't seem... So the Rishonim used to take off, the Rishonim say, the Mordechai quotes, they used to take the talus off, but for a different reason. Because the Tefillin Shel Rosh are supposed to be exposed.
Right.
That's why. Tefillin Shel Rosh, Ro Kalami Yort, it says in Lisbik, Ro Kalami Yort, Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha, V'yorom Imeko, Ze'ilu Tfilin Shel Barosh. He's supposed to have the Tfilin Shel Rosh exposed when you say Kriya Shema. He's supposed to wear Tfilin when you say Kriya Shema. So he's supposed to have the Tfilin Shel Rosh exposed when you say Kriya Shema.
That's when people used to wear their talus over it.
They want to have here also. They want to have the Kesher also exposed. They want to have everything exposed. That's what it says in the Mordechai. The Rav Eppes didn't say that over. He said Rav Chaim did this reason. Nafkimin will be on Shabbos when you're not wearing tefillin. So he's supposed to take off. Rav Chaim is some wear a big cylinder on Shabbos. That's all the Rabbanim years ago used to wear a big hat on Shabbos. They didn't wear the talus over the hat on Shabbos. So we'll never know. But the Rav takes off the talus. He used to take off his talus on Shabbos also. On Shabbos Yom Tov also. He's not.
Then put it back on for Shmanes.
No, yeah, the Goyen's minig. The Vilna Goyen had the minig not to kiss the tzitzis. Most of the things he followed the Vilna Goyen, not 100% everything, but most of the minhagim he followed the Vilna Goyen because his family learned in Valozhin. Abchaim Soloveitchik was in Valozhin, the Netziv. He was an enikel from the Netziv. The Netziv was the Rosh Hashiva in Valozhin. So Valozhin was founded by Rab Chaim Valozhin and the Talmud of the Vilna Goyen. So they followed all the minhagim, all the hanhagas, all the psalm of the Vilna Goyen. I'm not even familiar. Don't know. So here the Mishnah records that on these three points, Rabbi Gamliel used to follow the family tradition to be machmir. And the other Tanaim said that's not the family tradition. One tradition that they personally were machmir, but they weren't machmir for everybody else. So the Gemara is going to discuss each one separately. So first they ask, what's the first issue? whether you allow it on Yontif, he's going to cook a whole kettle full of water, and Matzo Yontif is going to be Shabbos, and he wants to wrap it around with towels. He doesn't want to leave a fire on unless it's going to be too hot in the house.
Keep it for Shabbos.
He doesn't have a fire. He wants to wrap it around to keep it warm for Shabbos. Let's say he only has one fire, and he wants to leave the soup on the fire, the cholent on the fire, whatever. He has a kettle of water. He wants to keep it warm. He only has one burner on. He wants to wrap it around and keep it warm. So what's wrong? Craig Digamar, what's the problem? Hechidami, what's the problem? If he made an erev tafshilin, so you're permitted to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. So good, so let him. My time Besham. Why do they say you're not allowed to? If you didn't make an erev tafshilin, so why did Bezilel say that you're allowed to? You're not allowed to cook on Yontif. You're not allowed to do anything on Yontif for Shabbos if you didn't make an erev tafshilin. So what's going on? Amar Rav Huna, the story is he did not make an erev tafshilin. The Gemara suggests he did not make an erev tafshilin. So Bishamai say, no erev tafshilin, no malachas. You're not allowed to do anything. So what do you eat?
Whatever you have.
Go invite yourself out to someone else's home. Go get an invitation. We don't allow you to cook anything. If there's no one else to eat by, nobody likes me. And I like, so starve. Sorry. Starve. You learn your lesson. And Bishamai say, no. The Chachamim never, erev tafshilin is only needed mid the Rabbanim. Min HaTorah, you're allowed to cook on Yontif v'Shabbos without an erev tafshilin. So if he did make an erev tafshilin, we don't tell him to starve. We allow you to bake one challah. Don't make a lecha mishnah because you need every. All of a sudden it becomes religious and needs lecha mishnah. We don't allow you. Didn't make an erev tafshilin, no lecha mishnah. One challah, a little bit of water. Machlekes, do we allow him to cook a little bit of fish? Oh, he can live without the fish. So that's the machlekes b'shamim b'shil. The other memelach shalay near erev tafshilin. The alternative is that we should make him fast. We don't make him fast if he has someone to eat by, let him eat by somebody else. If he doesn't have anybody to eat by, so we don't insist that he has to fast on Shabbos. Rav Huna goes with Shitas, the way he's interpreting the mission, that Bishil will allow you to cook a little bit even though he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. Rav Huna, Mishlein Yech Erev Tavshilin, open up Pasachas, we allow you to bake one challah, a little bit. One bowl of soup. One candle. We don't allow you. We have a minig in the days of the Gemara that you light two candles, one keneged zocher, one keneged shomer. If they have a lot of children, grandchildren, so they light 35 candles, whatever. But if this chevreman forgot to make an erev tafshilin, we don't want him to sit in the dark. He should enjoy the meal. But one candle, just mamish the koshi, that's all. And the machlokes is, would we allow him also to cook a shtikal of fish? Or that's already too much? He can live on bread and water. Let him eat bread and water.
Somebody else has to do it for him. He cannot cook. The Muslim
law. No. The Rishonim talk about that. The Rishonim say if it means that literally it says mevashlim lo. Mevashlim lo sounds like others cook.
They had it for payment because they made already.
They made an erev tafshilin so they can cook whatever they want. So it means no. Mevashlim lo means we allow him to do it. Or let's say, if the others made an erev tafshilin, they're not allowed to cook my food either. So the only time they're allowed to cook my food is if I makna the food. If I give it to them, it belongs to them. Over here it means that, let's say they made an erev tafshilin, but I'm not makna it to them. So we still permit them to cook for me. So that means I'm allowed to cook also. I'm allowed to cook one challah, bake one challah, and a little bit of water, a little bit of soup shine. And a machlek is one candle, and what about a little bit of shtikl fish? That's a machlek. That's what the Amora Rav Huna says. Lest you think that he made it up on his own. The Gemara says, Tanya Rami Hachi, it's a braisa. Rav Huna had a tradition from the days of Tanaim. And that's what it means in the Mishnah. That's the machlek is Bisham and Misil. Mishnah, Nech Erev Tavshilin, we allow you to cook pasachas, one shtikl, one challah. Tanok de rachas, one bowl of soup you can keep warm, one cup of tea. I might be making that one there. Chamla kitan echad, one bowl of water. Shine v'yeshem afzalah dakot natzmachleg.
No, because you're not allowed to eat
Yontif for Shabbos.
You're not allowed to eat Yontif for Shabbos. Yontif, you're not allowed to eat in the dark. By Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat the dark. If you have dark, you're not allowed to have a Suda Shabbos.
Yeah.
So that's why.
He should enjoy the meal. He should enjoy the meal. But we don't allow him to light more. That's what the Taptaisa says. If a person makes an Erev Tafshilin, then he can light all 35 candles, whatever he wants. So when he makes the Erev Tavshilin, he should mention with this Erev Tavshilin is permissible not lukish raga, to light candles. That's what Taisa says, because he sees from the Gemara that if you wouldn't make an Erev Tavshilin, we wouldn't permit you to light candles. So therefore, with the Erev Tavshilin as a hetter, they should say so. With this Erev Tavshilin, I should be allowed to light as many candles as I want. That's our meaning. That's what we say when we make the Erev Tavshilin. So this is the first pshat the Gemara gives. Then the Gemara is going to suggest other pshat.
It seems
that's why the other Amoraim are not happy about it. The way he says pshat has nothing to do with Tomnen HaSachamen. Shaila is, Mi Shaloi Hiniach Erev Tavshilin, do you give him a hat to cook anything or absolutely nothing? So the Rav Huna claims that that's what the Mishnah means. It doesn't mean Tomnen HaSachamen L'chatchila B'yad. It means Misha Zilzav Misha Loi Yinich Erev Tavshilin Matirim Loi the bare minimum. So that's the pshat. It doesn't fit into the Lashon HaMishnah. That's an obvious difficulty with Rav Huna's pshat. So that's why the others aren't going to give other suggestions.
What's the Lashon HaTavshilin?
Yeah. Shvera Lashon. Others don't have the Girsa, it says. The Mishnah Sheva Mishnah doesn't have the word Lachatkin. The Shvera Lashon. Yeah. The Rav Huna interprets that the Gemara is going to say later, a different shot, but Rav Huna interprets that it means the Bishul. The Yishul really isn't the Bishul.
Didn't we have somewhere that somebody who didn't make an Erev Tavshilin was the wrong share, and the Tana didn't want to cook for him?
Yeah,
he didn't
want
to give him to him.
One year he forgot he gave him, he did it for him. The next year he didn't want to do it for him.
This week we lay in the Nitzav and Vayelach together, so the a lot of Musa, a lot of Tochacha here. So in Parshas Vayelach we have the expression that the Gemara talks about Hester Ponim. Vistarti Ponimahem. Haster Aster Ponimahem. What exactly is that concept of Hester Ponim? People talk about the Second World War, that there was a Hester Ponim. What exactly does it mean Hester Ponim? So some people understand Hester Ponim means that Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give any hashgacha and he just lets things happen without watching what's going on. So the Gedolim from years ago, the Gedolim Achronim think that that's not what it means. Hester Ponim, they say, means that we can't see the Ribbono Shel Olam's Ponim. He's hiding his face, but he's still watching over us. As the expression appears in Shir HaShirim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meitzitz Min HaCharakim. If there's somebody looking in through the window, if I look at the window, I can see him and he can see me. But if there's somebody looking through a crack in the door, so he can see everything that's happening inside, but we can't see him. He's looking, Meitzitz Min HaCharakim, he's looking through a crack. Charakim is the cracks in the door. So Hester Ponim means the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching over us, he's taking care of us, he sees, and he's taking care of everything, but we get the impression as if he's not watching us. That's what it means, Hester Ponim. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So they point out that there is a Gemara in the first Perek in Chagige, where the Gemara says, in the period of the early Christians, the Gemara calls the early Christians Minim. They say that the word Min is a Rosh Hashanah, Nikat Yeshua Nazri, from the group of the early Christians. So the Gemara says that there was once a debate between Rabbi Shua ben Hananya and one of the Christians, and the debate took place in pantomime. No one said anything, they just...
motioned with their hands.
Motion, yeah. So, and the debate was in front of the Kesa. So the Christian demonstrated, he was facing Rabbi Shua ben Hananya, the rabbi, and then he turns his back to the rabbi and he walks away. That's his arguing. And then the rabbi goes like this. So the case arrest Rabbi Shua ben Hananya, I didn't understand. He pulls him to the side. He says, Vasatek Gizak, Vasatek Gizak. So he says, he's turning his back to show that we are no longer the Yama Nifchar. That's what the Christians said, that they are, the Christians Arayim Hazeh, they say that they are the Yama Nifchar, that we rejected Jesus. So we lost our special status, the Yama Nifchar, and they are the chosen people. And they're the ones who should deserve Eretz Yisrael and the Makam HaMikdash and so on. We're not entitled because we rejected Osa Huish and we lost our Abchiras Yisrael. So that was the argument. That's why he turns his back. And what did you say? So he says, no, Od Yodah Netuyah. When the Baruch Hashem turns his back, doesn't mean that he's not. He didn't turn his back. It's not that he's not watching. He's watching. How come we suffer more than any nation in the world? Of course the Baruch Hashem is watching. To us, it looks as if he's not watching. That's the p'china of Hester Pona. But he is watching. Then the Gemara says that the Kesar asked the Nochri, he asked the Christian, he says, I know what I said, that the Jews are no longer the Amanifchar. I turned my back to demonstrate that God turned his back on the Jewish people. But I don't know what his response was. So the Gemara says that the Kesar killed the men. He said, a chutzpah, that you have a debate in pantomime in front of the Kesar, and you yourself don't understand pantomime. So the Gemara says that he punished the Christian. That's what the Achrenim write like that. They think that that's the pshat in the Chumash, that the concept of Hester Ponim doesn't mean that Rabbi Shalom just lets things happen
hefke,
without any hashgacha, hefke. No, there's no such thing as hefke. The Rabbi Shalom is always in control of everything, but many times in the history it looks to us as if he's not watching. So that's not so. He's Meitzitz Min HaHarakim. He's looking from the cracks. We can't see him, but he clearly sees us. And he watches over us, and that's why we have this kasha. It's not that he's not watching. He's not watching, so we have no kasha. Tzadik v'ralo rosh v'tovlo. Kasha, but he is watching.
Yeah, he's there.
How do you allow that?
Still there.
So the Baruch Shalom says he can't. He can't explain it to us why. The kasha blacked out.
Good night,
Mr.